Action Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness, it's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that,
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you'd kindly walk this way to the deep end, we're gonna dive in.
I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
This is Wretched Radio, the word on the street. Adiaphora. Adi, what? You heard me. I said adiaphora. No, it was not a swear word. It is a theological term that you and I must study, and we are going to be required to dive into the deep end. Why? Because we are being hit by a barrage, a veritable tidal wave of new issues, morality issues, political conundrums that are causing Christians to go, how am I supposed to respond to this? You say, what are you talking about? I hold in my never before nicotine stained fingers a veritable stack of stories, real people, real issues, going through genuine dilemmas, trying to be faithful Christians in light of the LGBTQ revolution. Alistair Begg is the one who really has caused a lot of people to start asking questions, because if indeed it is wrong for a Christian to attend an LGBTQ plus wedding, well, that principle then means I can't attend other unbiblical weddings. But wait, a door gets open, more like Pandora's box. What about these configurations? What about when I'm confronted by this? You say, what are these things? Let me share with you these emails. Please note two things. One, we're not going to use names. Number two, we're not going to try to solve each one of these dilemmas. That is not the place of a radio program or a podcast. These issues need to be sorted on the local level in the context of the local church. We are simply here to bring as much perspective and hopefully correct biblical exposition to help us sort this stuff, recognizing there is little doubt about it. Different Christians are going to have different takes on these subjects, and that's why we need to figure out adiaphora. But before we get to that, here are the conundrums. My mom is struggling because my aunt, her sister, is coming into town. However, on this trip, my aunt is also bringing her daughter and her daughter's girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Usually my mom hosts my aunt in their two-bedroom guest house. Should she be okay with the daughter and girlfriend also staying in her guest house? What would you advise? You're the pastor. The parishioner walks into your office and gives you that. What would you say and why? And how do you make that decision? And what if somebody disagrees with your opinion? Todd, my wife teaches first grade, and there's a boy who wants to be a girl. So my wife has to teach this. We both agree she can't perpetuate a lie, names, pronouns, but we've got contracts that are up in June. She's between a rock and a hard place. What did we... Is it wrong for her to continue to teach that student while trying to avoid a lawsuit from the parents and still do it right? There's a conundrum. By the way, do I have an opinion on these things? Of course I do. I'm a talk show host. I'm trying to simply share with you the conundrums without presenting my opinion, because we want to try to build a framework for figuring these things out. No, for you to figure these things out, because each one of these conundrums has complexities. They always have details. I work for a company providing IT support services to small businesses. We closely partner with our clients to help them grow and be successful. We were approached by a church that supports LGBTQ stuff. They participate in a pride parade, etc. Normally, if an organization we work with supports those things, it's not the primary purpose of their business to promote anti-Christian beliefs. But in this case, it seems front and center to the purpose of the organization. I don't know. that I want to help them to be successful. I feel consternation over this arrangement. Is that justified in this case, or am I making a bigger deal of this than is warranted? That's a conundrum, isn't it? Todd, so I groom dogs for a company that is extremely woke. They sell LGBTQ stuff, donate, implemented pronouns. Would I be affirming this by working for them? All this Alistair Begg stuff has me wondering now. So the hornet's nest was kicked, and look at that. There are all kinds of hornets flying out of that nest because there's so many different situations. Curious. The argument is rightly being made that attending a wedding implies approval of it. So how does this apply to a Baptist attending a service where an infant is being baptized? Should a Baptist stay away? Should they do at that service if they disagree with infant baptism? I didn't expect that one, Jimmy. That's a very good question. There have been others about, hey, my father was Roman Catholic. He died. They're going to have the burial. Do I go to the funeral? Is that different than attending a wedding? What if they do anything Catholic that is clearly in violation of biblical principles? Conundrum, conundrum, conundrum. Todd, hypothetically, my son is having a child out of wedlock. Should I refuse to go to the hospital to meet the baby so I don't appear to give approval of my son's sinful relationship? Why is that opinion in line or not in line with your view on Alistair Begg's current situation? Next question. One of my female colleagues who works in close proximity to me has a wife and is expected to make an announcement very soon about becoming pregnant. Oh boy. I'm struggling to know how best to respond to this announcement in front of her and the other colleagues and how to engage with her about the baby going forward. What's the conundrum? I don't want to affirm that configuration. I don't want to affirm their behavior, but it's a baby. And we love babies. We're the life people. I understand this goes against God's design for family. However, can the birth of a child still be celebrated, given all children are a blessing in God's eyes? What about baking cakes? Ooh, what do we do if I'm a florist? How do I make these decisions? All of these, and frankly, a limitless number more, that are new, aren't they? So how do we sort it? How do we come up with the principles to figure out what to do? Well, let me take you back in time. When Adiaphora first made its way into Protestant conversations, this is, believe it or not, from Britannica.com. They actually did a pretty fine job of helping us understand this concept. Adiaphora, they define as indifferent. These are issues where we don't have a specific verse about the subject. We got to sort it. We got to figure it out. And typically when we have these conversations, by the way, you will have the weaker brother, stronger brother. The weaker brother thinks, I can't do that, when the stronger brother says, I can, because you actually can. But that, begs the question, how do you know if you actually can? How do you know who's right on the issue? Because, for instance, on the Alistair Begg issue, most likely you disagreed with Pastor Begg. That would actually make you the weaker brother in Romans 14 world, because it is the weaker brother who doesn't feel like I can do that activity. Now, I'm not saying who's right and wrong. You know where I stand on it. But what I'm saying is, in this particular configuration, you and I would be the weaker brother. Are we? This is why we need to dive in deep. And I will share this with you. I've lost track of the number of conversations that I've had with theologians. I'm not talking about people who just have an opinion. I'm talking about theologians. And this issue of Adiaphora, it is a complex subject based on a lot of variables. So let's study what Adiaphora is. According to Britannica, these are indifferent issues. The opinion that certain doctrines or practices and morals, religion, political matters are indifferent because they're neither commanded nor forbidden in the Bible. That's a pretty standard definition of Adiaphora, things that are neither commanded nor forbidden. The first controversy arose over the religious compromise between the Lutheran theologians of Wittenberg, that would be Philip Melanchthon, and other ecclesiastical leaders in Saxony. So the elector of Saxony succeeded in making the Wittenberg theologians accept, for political reason, what was called the Leipzig Interim, which sanctioned the jurisdiction of Roman Catholic bishops and observance of certain rites like extreme unction and confirmation, while all were to accept the doctrine of justification by faith. The added word alone being treated as one of the adiaphora. And so a Lutheran reformer opposed this policy and said, no, this is all about political pressure. And so you can't use adiaphora. And therefore, no concession could be allowed. Well, guess what? It required the Peace of Augsburg to settle the issue. In other words, we've been dealing with this stuff for a long time, and it demands that we do one thing. Yeah, we can study history, but we need to study the texts that actually deal with this subject so that you, not me, you can come up with the biblical response to these current conundrums. Next on Wretched Radio. Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land, and they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry, and you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Numbers tells the story of Israel's wandering in the desert for 40 years. The journey from Egypt to Canaan should have only taken 11 days, but Israel's grumbling and disobedience angered God, and none of the Israelites were allowed to enter the promised land. But God remained faithful and led their children into their inheritance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go back in time. That's how you go back in time right there. You don't need a DeLorean. This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you back to 1681. An adiaphorist controversy. A what? A disputable dispensation. The church going, what do we do about this? See if this doesn't sound at least related to so many of the issues that we are having to deal with today. The pietists, these were the people. There were two different groups of pietists. There were those that were rather licentious, believe it or not, and there were those that were legalists. The good part about the pietistic movement, however, was it had a deep concern about whether or not somebody was genuinely saved. And this is 1681. The pietists opposed the construction of a theater in Hamburg. The pietists said it's a worldly amusement. Therefore, it's anti-Christian. But the Lutherans generally defended Christian freedom in such matters. And so the term adiaphora was debated. Is a theater where these plays go on, is that something that a Christian can participate in? Should that be something that we try to boycott, shut down, make sure that everybody knows it's Satan's theater? And they couldn't agree on these issues. These are just a sampling of the historic issues that the church has had to figure out. The church, going back, there was the Vestirian controversy. What's a Vestirian controversy? 1560s and 70s dealt with the question of whether clerical vestments were declared to be popish by some, were theologically important to others. They couldn't agree about church robes. And you say, what? That seems so obvious to us today. Well, it wasn't to them then. And I suspect the reason is because it was a new issue. And the church usually needs some time to sort many of these subjects. And we are in a season where we are confronted with so many new issues and conundrums, most specifically because of the LGBTQ movement. What do we do about cake baking, flowers, pronouns, DEI, celebrating a marriage or a birth of a child in a marriage that's unbiblical? It's enough to make you want to scream, is this adiaphora or not? So let us go to the text that helps us to understand what adiaphora is and isn't. And please note again, I'm really not trying to speak into any one of these issues. I don't know that I can say this emphatically enough. I'm a guy who talks on the radio. Do I study these issues? Certainly. But I'm not with you in your local church. And I'm not your pastor. And that is the context where these issues really need to be worked through. So you say, then why are you talking about it at all? I'm simply trying to help, because we will see increased fracturing that is unnecessary. Sometimes it's necessary. Right now, we're seeing a lot of fracturing. And I got to tell you, increasingly, it grieves me more and more. So this is an offering from Wretched Radio for you to sort through these issues. Romans 14. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. The issue is food. In this instance, it's vegetarianism versus meat, but then we get into meat being purchased that was sacrificed to idols. Paul renders a verdict and says it's okay. I think 1 Corinthians 10, a parallel passage, about verse 10-ish maybe, maybe 20. He says that you shouldn't be going to pagan festivals. That's a bridge too far, but you can eat the meat that they sacrifice there because it's cheaper. And wow, was meat ever something to be prized in those days? That was the controversy. And you say, that's not our issue, but the principle remains the same. You need to decide what the issue is, who's the weaker, who's the stronger, and that gets rather choppy and complicated. But the bottom line to the Romans 14 principle is when it is an adiaphora, you're not going to hack at each other. But the problem is in our current context, because these issues are so new, we have strong opinions that we bring, and that's really fine. We just need Bible verses to draw a direct application to the issue. And we can debate those things and discuss those things. But as we do, I think this is one definitive principle that we should be able to take away from Romans 14. As we do, we shouldn't be hacking on one another. So let me take you back to Romans 14:4. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day better than another. So these are about festivals. This is maybe about Sabbath versus Sunday. And what does Paul say? Well, he tells us in Colossians 2:16-17 that the day really doesn't matter. The festival's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, they were dealing with this issue. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Why? Because it isn't a sin if you celebrate Passover or don't celebrate Passover. Let each one be convinced. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord because he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. So these are believers. And believe me, I know this sounds almost antiquated. Meat? Come on. That's a no-brainer. To us, it is. But when they were in it, it wasn't. And listen to how Paul describes each of the brothers that have different opinions on this subject. We're both serving the same master. I answer to the Lord, so do you. And therefore, I'm not going to go after you. Am I going to try to persuade you? Sure, if I think it's important. Can you do the same to me? Absolutely, if we do it lovingly. But I can't come after you with a machete because you're serving, you're actually honoring the Lord. Now, this is why we need to understand adiaphora. Because if it actually is a sin issue, then it's a problem because somebody would be committing a sin if they believe that they have liberty in it. So that is why the big question is what qualifies as a contemporary Romans 14 issue? And we read the stack of emails of different scenarios. Are those adiaphora? Are those sin issues? Are they non-sin issues? And this, to me, is the issue we need to resolve. And I'm going to throw something out that is going to sound, it's going to sound Russell Moore-ish, and it's not intended to be that at all. Russell Moore, David French, they're all about finding the third way, the more moderated position. I'm not talking about that. At least I certainly hope I'm not, because I don't want to be guilty of that. But in talking to a number of theologians, please trust me when I tell you, I've been consulting with guys, they ain't no dummies. And these issues are not quite as clear. Now, don't think of any particular issue. I'm talking about just a broad bunch of issues regarding the LGBT stuff. They're just not as simple as perhaps some would like to make them be. They're just not. And so in talking to them, I just kept focusing on this issue. If this, then that. If this is a sin to go to a gay wedding, what about these other issues? And what do you call, for instance, the advice of Al Begg? And I'm telling you, listening to these guys go, well, but, well, hold on, there's also, it tells me we need to sort this. And we need a little time to do just that. And I would like to offer for your consideration a third category. Typically, you've got sin, adiaphora. You've got sin. It's actually not a sin, but somebody thinks it's a sin so we can live together. And I did not find any theologians who were willing to slot some of these issues into one or the other. And you go, I hate that. Me too. And so as I was working through this, thinking through this, I forwarded this third category of issues. Ready? Wisdom. Wisdom issues. That there are so many complexities, so many details, and so much debate that we, at this point, haven't sorted it. So we can't say that it's a sin. It doesn't really seem to be. It's more than an adiaphora. I heard that a lot. Well, it's more than an adiaphora. Al's advice, more than an adiaphora. Is it a sin? Well, no, I'm not quite willing to. Well, what is it then? Maybe it's just a wisdom issue. With all the complexities, we each do our best to sort the subjects. And I'm talking about all of these subjects, not just one. And that we allow each other the liberty to make those decisions, giving an account to our God individually. And in the meantime, we love one another. This is Wretched Radio.